All right, let's turn to back there to 2 Kings 4. I'm going to just go through this and make a few comments as we go, and if I have time when we get to the end, I will give you a few points, but I want to say a few things as we go. Begin here in verse 8, it says, "And it fell on a day." We see that repeatedly, it fell on a day. The Lord is always working things constantly, continually. Falls on the day exactly according to his purpose. "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread." Now, Elisha is the Lord's prophet. He's the miracle-working prophet. Find him working miracles by the Lord's grace repeatedly. But he's a type of Christ the prophet. He's a type of our great Lord Jesus who works the miracle of grace in his people. And then we have this Shunammite woman. She was a great woman. She was a woman who believed God. That's why she was a great woman. We're told that in Hebrews 11:35, that through faith women had received their children from the dead, and there's only two women that was the case with, and this is one of them. This whole passage is a picture or an example of faith, true faith, and she had great faith. That's why she's called a great woman. She believed God. She was humble. She was very content where she was. She had faith in the Lord. Shunem means double rest. Double rest. We're commanded to preach to the Lord's people and comfort his people. The Lord has rewarded you double for all your sins. And he's given us double rest. He's given us rest from all our works trying to gain acceptance with God. And he's given us rest in Christ and his righteousness. Double rest. Now she constrained Elisha to come in and eat bread. And our Lord, being the great prophet, he constrains us and gives us a heart to long after him and to want him to commune with us. And he enters in and he breaks the bread of life to us. Well, after several visits, she perceived. She had some spiritual discernment. She talked with Elisha. She heard him speak the word of God. And she had faith. She discerned, this is a man of God. And verse 9, "And she said to her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, a little apartment. And let us make a set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither." She greatly here is a type of the church as well, the woman, the church. He's going to produce, by the word of God, he's going to produce a child, a miracle of grace here. So she's a picture of the church, a picture of Christ's bride and how he produces children of faith by the miracle of his grace, and we want a place for the Lord. We want a place where he'll turn into and come and commune with us and bless us by his word. And it says, "And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber, and he lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, Call this Shunammite. And when he called her, she stood before him. And she said to him, He said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people." She was content. She was content in the state where the Lord had put her. And that's so with the believer in Christ. She wasn't wanting an ear with the king. She wasn't wanting anything anything more than what the Lord had given her. She was content right where she was. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered. Now this is the servant of Elisha. He answered, verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And Christ calls his child. That's where we're going to stand, in the door. In Christ the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. This was too good to be true to her, just like when Sarah heard this. And the woman conceived, and she bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. Now she was barren. She had no child, her husband was old. But by a miracle of God's grace, by the word of this prophet, according to his word, she had a child. God produced a child. Now you see how she pictures the church here. It's through Christ, it's through his word, through the woman, the church, that he gives a miracle of grace. He creates a child of his grace, born of his grace, born of his power. Children of promise. Remember Isaac looking at this child born of God's grace, a child of God's promise produced by God. Paul said of Isaac, he said, we, like Isaac, are children of promise. God promised from the foundation of the world to save his people. He chose a people, and he sends the Spirit, sends the Word, and births us. A miracle of God's grace, a child of promise, just like Elisha had promised. Verse 18, and when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. I picture this child probably somewhere around 5 years old, 6 or 7 maybe. He was small enough he still could hold him on her knee. But he goes out to the field where his father's reaping the harvest, and he began to complain of a headache. He began to say, my head, and the father said to the lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. He died. Sometimes we suffer the loss of a believing brother or sister through death. Sometimes there's a brother or sister that is sick spiritually, and they don't appear to have spiritual life. And greatly grieve for them. Sometimes we personally suffer affliction. What do we do for brethren? What do we do for one another? What did this woman do? When we have a personal need, what do? Church does what she did. We do personally what she did. Her heart, you know, had to be full of grief. Her child died. Her child died. She went out that morning full of life, went to the field, comes in with a headache. She's sitting there with him on her lap, and at noon he died. Her heart's got to be just ripped out. But she believed God. She believed God. It was customary when somebody died in that time, in that day, you buried them right then. You had to. But she didn't make any preparations for burial. Verse 21, she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. She believed the Lord who produced this child could also revive this child. She believed the Lord that he gave her this child, he could renew this child and restore this child and save this child. And so what does faith do? Faith flees to Christ. When trouble comes, faith goes to the Lord Jesus. And that's what we have pictured here. Verse 22, she called unto her husband. She said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It's neither new moon nor Sabbath day. He doesn't know about the son. And she doesn't tell him about the child, their child. What does she say to him? He says, why are you going to him today? It's not the day of worship. She believed God and she said, it shall be well. It shall be well. Peace. It shall be peace. This is the title. It shall be well. And then she had to go 15 miles to Mount Carmel. This was not just running across the street. She had to go 15 miles to Mount Carmel. They say from this town of Shunem, even to this day, there's still some remnant there of, you know, you can go and visit it historically, but you can see Mount Carmel from this place. She has to go 15 miles. It says, verse 24, then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. Don't let up. Don't slow down. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Christ beholds us afar off. And he said to his servant, run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And again she answered, it is well. It is well. Could you answer that? She got a dead child at home. She said, it is well. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. You could just see her gripping his feet and just latching hold of Elisha. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. Gehazi is not spoken of very well through here. He was pretty hard, pretty cold. And he tried to thrust her away from Elisha. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me. You picture those needy sinners that came to our Lord while he walked this earth, and they would come to Christ and just fall down at his feet and lay hold of him. That's what she did here. She came, and Gehazi tried to thrust her away, but Elisha said, let her alone. Her soul is vexed within. Her soul is vexed. Christ is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows the heart of his people. He knows the feeling of every infirmity and weakness and sorrow and grieving that we have. And he's full of compassion for needy sinners. If we're really sinners, totally in need, he has compassion on his people. And when a woman came to him and laid hold of him, he said, she's vexed. Leave her alone. Remember when the woman came with the alabaster box of ointment and broke it on our Lord's head, and the apostles began to say, well, it murmured against her, you know, and the Lord said, let her alone. She's done what she could. This Shunammite was like that woman with the issue of blood. If I can just get to him, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. That's what we have pictured here. Lord didn't tell Elisha about this child. He didn't know about it. God's under-shepherd may not know what the Lord's doing. He don't know any more than the Lord's people know. But Christ the shepherd knows. He knows everything that's taking place, everything he's working. And he not only lets us come near to him, he bids us come near to him. He bids us come to him. He saw her soul vexed. Christ sees and he knows. And he knows when your heart has that aching void that only he can feel. He knows the weakness of our flesh. And he has compassion. And this is what faith does. Faith flees to Christ and lays hold on him. No matter how hopeless the situation appears. No matter how many obstacles are in the way. Her husband questioned her why she's going. She had to go 15 miles. Gehazi tried to thrust her away from him. Those with true faith must get to Christ. And they will. They will. Verse 28, then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Some say that she was upbraiding Elisha. I don't believe that's what she's doing at all. She needs the Lord's grace, and she needs Elisha. What she's doing here is, there's no doubt she desired a son, but she's reminding Elisha the first cause was not her. It was the prophet who said he would give a son. It was his word, and it was by his word. And she's reminding Elisha that it was the Lord that gave her this child. And with faith, when we go to the throne of God's grace, we go there pleading God's promises. We go there pleading God's word. We go there pleading his promise and his work of grace and what he's done. Lord, we're children you chose. We're children that you've redeemed. This is a child of your grace. This is a, Lord, your name's attached to this child. Please save this child. It's just the heart of faith. Faith doesn't give up on people. Verse 29, and then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins and take my staff in thine hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. If any salute thee, answer him not again. Lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. She latched on to Elisha and she said, I'm not going to let you go. I'm not leaving you. I'm going to stay with you. She knew who it was that had the word to bless. And when you come to Christ, you lay hold of him like Jacob and say, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. That's when you really, really, really have a need. You just keep going to him, and you keep going to him, and you keep going to him. And he arose and he followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet Elisha and told him, saying, the child's not awaked. This was Elisha's servant. And when you look at Elisha as a picture of Christ, Christ's servant preaches the gospel, the staff, the gospel. But only Christ can bless it. Only the Lord can bless it to the hearts of his people and make it effectual. And so we have to go to Christ and ask him to bless. Gehazi couldn't do anything here. And it says, verse 32, and when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in, therefore, and he shut the door upon them two, the twain, and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and he lay upon the child, put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up, stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed seven times, and the child opened his eyes. What Elisha did here pictures Christ by his life, by his spirit. His life is the life in us. Christ, the life, is the life in us. You see him put his mouth upon his mouth. He laid on this child. He put his mouth upon his mouth. He put his hands upon his hands. He stretched himself upon the child. And then the flesh of the child waxed warm. And this is a picture of the oneness that we have with Christ. When he enters in and truly quickens us in the heart, this life is by Christ. It's by oneness with him. He said, I in you. You're in him. He's in you. It's a oneness with him. And there's a great difference here between the prophet and Christ. Elisha shut the door and he prayed and he put forth this different effort. And then he had to go down and take some time and he went back and did it again. Christ, when he comes, whether he's regenerating his child in the first time he comes in grace, or whether he's reviving someone who's cast down and they're unbelieving and they're just not going to believe, they're not going to have this hope, they don't think it's going to be well. If he's going to revive them, if he's going to renew them, Christ doesn't have to do all this effort. He just speaks the word. He just speaks the word. And he raises the dead. He speaks and revives the spiritually sick believer. Elisha here shut the door and he prayed. And Christ comes in secret. He comes in secret. He prayed. Elisha prayed. Christ intercedes with the Father. And he sends forth the Spirit. And Christ speaks life into the sinner. And you have life. Or he comes and he comes to one that he's already quickened. And he renews us. The renewing of the inner man has to continually be renewed. And he imparts his own life. It's the Spirit. It's the virtue going out of Christ into his people, making us partakers of the divine nature. And then there's life. There's regeneration. There's reviving. There's renewing. Now we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the power may be of God, not of us. Elisha had to pray to God to do this. Gehazi couldn't do it. He had to go back to Elisha. We have to go to the Lord because he's the only one that can work this. Verse 36, and he called Gehazi and he said, call this Shunammite. And so he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. Don't you know she was her heart was overjoyed. And you know, I want you to see what she did here. He says, take up thy son. And then she went in and fell at his feet. She fell at Elisha's feet. And she bowed herself to the ground. And then she took up her son and she went out. She first fell at Elisha's feet. She bowed herself to the ground. She thanked him. She thanked God. She worshiped him. And that's what, when he gives you this life and he renews you and he quickens you, you come to him first. And you are bowing down. That's worship. And you fall at his feet and you thank God for what he's done. And then whatever he's worked in a sick brother or a brother overtaken, you embrace that brother, that sister. But you go to him, you thank him first. We go to him at the beginning with the need. We keep going to him. And in the end, we go to him and thank him. Now let me give you two or three very brief points here. First of all, if Christ is our all, if Christ is our all, then all is well. If Christ is our all, then all is well. In the midst of this great sorrow and grief, when you love somebody and you really, really love them with all your heart, and they're taken from you, it just rips your heart out. She was grieving. She was grieving like David and those men were, we saw last week, she couldn't grieve. They weep till they couldn't weep anymore. And even though it appears to the carnal eye that it's not well, she said it's well. It is well. Her heart's aching. She's in sorrow. She's overwhelmed. Yet she believed the Lord. And so she was able to say, it's well. It is well. It was well when God gave the child. It's well now that God has taken him away. Now, you and I don't have the ability to say that. In ourselves, we just don't. But when you need grace, God gives grace. And it's by his grace that you can say it's well. I was sitting one night with Brother Tommy Robbins a couple of days before he went to be with the Lord. And he said, Clay, he said, I thought when I came to this point, he said, I expected that God would give me grace. He said, but I didn't think I would have the same struggle with this flesh that I've always had. And he said, I do. He said, I'm just going to be honest. He said, I got fears and I got doubts. And he said, but the Lord just keeps strengthening my heart to look only to him. And he said, I have such peace in my heart. It's only by his grace that we can say, it is well. It is well. The word well is shalom, is peace. And as much as we love the things God gives and the blessings God gives, Christ is our peace. He's our peace. Christ is our peace. Nothing else. Nobody else. Christ is our peace. If he's not, we won't have peace. We won't be able to say it's well when trouble comes. But if he is, and he gives you this grace to know that you're in Christ, you're robed in his righteousness, you have his spirit abiding in you, and keeps pointing you to him, you know it is well. I called Sister Diane when I heard about Brother Lindsay going to be with the Lord, and first thing out of her mouth was, "He does all things well." And I know her heart's breaking. I've talked to Shelby the past year, and I know that heartache. But she truly, honestly said, "It is well. It's well. He does all things well." Having heard God's gospel of eternal love for his elect in Christ, and having seen his truth in you in his word, and known that he's everlastingly loved his people from eternity, that he sent his son to redeem us and lay down his life for us, and knowing that he has put away your sin, he's robed you in his righteousness, he has drawn you to himself, and his spirit abides in you, and when you're going through something and you, your flesh is just making you doubt and fear and tremble and look every direction, but then the Spirit quickens you and he just settles you and he comforts you and he points you to him, and you know it's well. I have Christ. It's well. It's well. By the Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we're children of God, you can say, "I am his and he is mine. It is well with my soul. It's well with my soul. Christ's righteousness is mine. His salvation is mine. His covenant promises are mine. His sovereign hand ruling everything is mine. It's well. It is well." We know it now, but we don't know it as we shall know it. We shall know this perfectly. Remember what Christ said? He said to his apostles, "What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." Brother Lindsay knows it perfectly. We know now, but we don't know it perfectly. We're going to know hereafter, though, that from the moment you were conceived in your womb, before you had control of things and you were calling the shots and you were able to work it out and be wise and make sure things turned out like you wanted them to, when you was a helpless babe, all the way through all the years of your life, all the way to right now, and all the way to the last breath, every breath, every step for God's child, for his elect, for his redeemed, for that one in whom Christ abides, it's well. Every step, every from when he first made you know your sin and your forgiveness, through the mountains when you rejoice in and you could say with confidence, "It's well," to the valleys when you just couldn't hardly pick up your head, "It's well." And every act of his providence, every act of his grace, the revelation of his word, every chastening act of his love, every sweet thing, every bitter thing, everything he gave, everything he's taken away, when that day we're going to know with fullness, completeness, it is well. It is well. Here's the second thing. In every need, true faith flees to Christ, letting no obstacle turn us aside, refusing to let him go till he blesses us. That's what his faith, that's the faith he gives. What was he doing here with this woman? He was showing what he works in his people. He was showing the faith he gives. We know from Hebrews 11:35, this was her faith. This was faith that did this. And he's showing the faith he works, the faith that he gives and the faith that he sustains. We don't only come on the day of worship. She said, "I'm going to the man of God." And her husband said, "Why are you going? It's not the new moon. It's not a day of worship." We don't just go to Christ on the day of worship. Every day is a day of need. We just sang it. We need him every hour. And every hour is a time of need. And we go to Christ constantly. We need him. We need him. And we're constantly coming to him. And then there's times of great, great need. You remember when the man came to Christ and his child was on the verge of death and Christ said this to him, "Fear not, only believe." This thing is going to be learned in us by experience. It's more to this than just learning doctrine and reading some books and sitting in a church building. You're going to feel like you're dying. You're going to feel like you're dying. It's going to be real. But you're going to experience Christ's redeeming love, and you're going to experience his regenerating power, and you're going to experience his keeping grace, and he's going to keep you coming to him and keep you coming to him, and he's going to keep strengthening you, saying to you, "Fear not, only believe." He's able to meet your present need. He's able to meet your future need. He's able to put away all the Gehazis that would try to thrust you from him. And you don't have to do anything. That woman didn't have to do a thing to Gehazi. Just the word spoken, leave her alone. And that's what Christ does. Flee to Christ alone. Faith's pleased that God's the first cause. He's the giver of all grace. Lord, we're coming to you. You're the great workman. Your people are your workmanship. You've chosen your people. You've redeemed us by your blood. Don't let one of your people perish. Don't let them pine away in unbelief. We're so quick when somebody looks like they're going away. We're so quick to just don't have anything else to do with them. They're not a child of God. You might not be a child of God if you have that spirit. God's people need grace, don't you? We need God to keep us. We need God to sustain us. And he's going to do that in his children. It's not like you've been told. It's not like you think it is. In the carnal appearance. It never is. God's working. And he's going to keep his people. And he's not going to let his people fall away. I'm scared to death of love that's fair weather love. Have I walked away from you? Against lots of opposition, I haven't. I've been right here with you. Does that make you stiffen? Love lasts. Love doesn't give up. Love lasts. The love of God says, I'm willing to love to the end, because that's how Christ loves us. He loves us to the end. Let the devil shoot his shot. God's going to protect his people. Flee to Christ. Flee to Christ. Our Savior's words, be not afraid, only believe. Trust the Lord's power. Trust the Lord's compassion. We value the sympathy of brethren. It's a great thing to have brethren who have a heart that Christ has given. But we're very limited. We're full of unbelief. We can be turned very easily. But Christ's full of compassion. He never turns. He never turns. He comes to his people and he provides for his people. And it's done so in comfort and in an indescribable way. Love for his people never changes. It never fails. Having therefore, brethren, boldness, liberty to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. All resources are at his command, and his love for his people is everlasting. Flee to him. And here's the last thing. Believe the Lord expectantly, but expect Christ himself. Now, she expected the Lord to work through Elisha, and he did. But the picture here is of Christ himself reviving us. It's of Christ himself being the salvation of a needy sinner. Whatever the Lord's pleased to give or to take, it's the Lord Himself we need. Expect Christ Himself. His compassions fail not. His power is sufficient for our weakness. His merit's going to exceed our demerit. His blood is going to cleanse our defilement. His holiness is going to make us holy. His fullness is going to fill our emptiness. We need the discipline that comes with disappointment from all things carnal. That's good discipline, because it teaches us that our joy is not in the gourd. God sends a canker worm and destroys the gourd. Our rejoicing is Christ. And you're gonna have Him. We admire the aged believer because they're rooted and they're grounded, they're settled in Christ. But we fail to think about how much sorrow and affliction they went through by God's grace for those roots to run that deep. We don't know how unbelieving we are till the Lord tries our faith. We don't know how proud we are until we find out how far we have to come down to get to Christ's feet because we were so lifted up in pride. We don't know the idols until God takes them away. But when He does, He makes Himself more precious to us. He makes our sin, makes us to hate our sin more. He makes us to loathe our entire selves more. And He makes Christ to be nearer and dearer to us. He makes His holiness to be more endeared to us. And He makes every painful step for that aged believer, he looks back and he says, "It's well. It was all well, every bit of it." When with sad footsteps memory rose, mid smitten joys and buried loves, when sleep my tearful pillow flies, and dew morning drinks my sighs, still to Your promise, Lord, I flee, that as Your day, Your strength shall be. His grace is going to keep Himself being all we need. His grace is going to keep Himself being all we need. Amen. Father, we ask You to bless this word. Lord, whatever You're pleased to do, we bow to Your will. We're clinging to You, Lord, and asking You to renew and to revive. Lord, we ask You to come and work Your grace. Be with Diane and the brethren there and their family. Lord, we ask You to strengthen them, comfort them. Lord, help Your church. Help us to see that You're ruling and doing all things well for Your people. Keep us knowing in our hearts it is well, Lord. Keep us rejoicing in You, looking only to You. We thank You, Father. We praise You. We thank You that You've given us all the blessings in Christ. Keep us looking from ourselves. Keep us looking only to You, Lord. We ask it by Your mercy, by Your grace. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.